Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Everybody, and welcome to the Fly Brother Radio Show on the Industry Entertainment Network. I'm Ernest White II, storyteller and explorer and creator of the multicultural travel website flybrother.net. As part of my storytelling, I've had my travel writing published in places like Time Out Magazine, USA Today, Getaway Magazine, Panorama, Travel and Escape, Ebony, and at travelchannel.com. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50, and I'm not saying all that to say that I'm all that. I just want to give you a little motivation, some inspiration, a few tricks and tips to go off and live an amazing fly life for yourself. Today on the Fly Brother Radio Show, I talk with Faraz Arif Ansari, gifted writer and filmmaker from India who worked with several acclaimed directors in film and television, as well as organizing musicals and educational programs in India and the United States since beginning his career 6 years ago. In 2016, Faraz's first short film, Siberia, premiered, garnering prizes in India and around the world. His most recent film, Sisak, is India's first silent queer love story. The beautiful 20-minute short film is traveling to film festivals around the world, winning many, many jury and audience awards, which to me is not surprising. When not working behind the camera, Faraz conducts cinema and theater sessions for underprivileged children in Mumbai and trains them to write screenplays and direct their own short films. Today we talk about filmmaking, identity, survival, purpose, love, and of course, travel and a whole lot more. But before that, every week here on the Industry Entertainment Network, we highlight a community partner, either a small business, charity, or community service organization. This week, we're highlighting Hubbard House. The mission of Hubbard House is safety, empowerment, and social change for victims of domestic violence and their families. The vision is every relationship violence-free. Every woman, man, and child who comes to Hubbard House finds support, counseling, and education as they begin the difficult and dangerous transition to safety and peace. Victims of domestic violence and their children are not charged for the life-saving services they receive at Hubbard House. Hubbard House has been and continues to be an award-winning pioneer in the field. In all they do, victim safety is their top priority. They value experiences of survivors and learn from them. They shelter approximately 120 victims and their children each day and provide services to 5,000 victims of domestic violence a year. 6 to 10 people still lose their lives to domestic violence each year in Jacksonville, Florida, where Hubbard House is based. For more information, go to www.hubbardhouse.org and let them know the Industry Entertainment Network sent you. We'll be right back with filmmaker and culture creator Faraz Arif Ansari on the Fly Brother Radio Show right after this.
एक चांद आसमां में रात भर ठहरा है, चांद को पता नहीं तेरा है या मेरा है। एक चांद आसमां में रात भर ठहरा है, चांद को पता नहीं तेरा है या मेरा है। कोई भी ले जाए उसको, जाने उसका हक है किसको, बोलो ना। जाने तो, जाने तो, जाने तो इस बात पे, फिर कभी बात कर लेंगे। रह गए जो
to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I am here today with director, traveler, educator, because film is a medium for education, philanthropist Faraz Arif Ansari, coming direct from India. Thank you very much, sir, for being on the Fly Brother Radio Show today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Anas, for having me. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, man. So let me just tell the audience a little bit about how we ended up meeting. I actually was
right.
I was in Sweden and was doing research and ran across the trailer for your latest film. It's a short film, Sisek, which is a love story between two guys on the train in Mumbai.
It's a silent film in the sense that the characters don't talk to one another. There's music in the international version, I guess. But what wasn't said between the two principals, I felt like was so resonant, so poignant. Basically, two people who were connecting and for so many reasons are unable to act on that connection. And it was just really moving. I ended up like getting teary eyed and yeah, just, it was an incredibly moving trailer. I hadn't even seen the actual film. And so, yeah, I just so happened to be going to India for one of the projects that I'm working on. And I knew I was going. I saw that the film was going to be screened at the queer film festival, Kashish, happening there in Mumbai. And so then I reached out to you via Facebook, and we were able to connect and talk and just have lots of laughs and just really, you know, it was really kind of, I don't know, an interesting way of meeting
someone in
the world.
I agree. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
And you're doing good things, man. And I feel like that's why we were kind of drawn to each other, because here you are telling one type of love story that I don't feel like is told often enough. And so anyway, you know, here I am, Black American guy, looking at the story of two Indian guys and seeing myself in this story. And so therein lies the reason why I have you on today, just to basically, you know, kind of drive home the point that travel and culture, travel transcends culture. It allows people from different cultures to connect in many different ways. So how do you find that to be true?
I think, first of all, to begin with, I think what really resonates with a lot of the people who are watching the film from across the world, because now the film has been traveling to over 38 film festivals across the world.
Wow, 38 film festivals.
We have 38 film festivals.
Jeez.
I think 38. I think it's 39 now.
Okay.
I think so, but I think approximately 38, out of which we have won 9th international awards for the best film across. So I think what really resonates with a lot of people across the world is that, you know, love is such a universal emotion. I think that is one thing that binds all of us together. And I think that itself, and my film being a silent film, it has no language, you know. And I think that kind of takes away very many barriers which, you know, generally foreign films have. You know, I mean, you need to read the subtitles, you're exploring the culture, you're seeing new people, you're seeing new locations. So it does, I think at times it does get a bit overwhelming, for the lack of a better word. But I think what I wanted to do with this film was I wanted it to be a very universal film about love. Mm. And it just so happens that it happens between two men.
Right.
And obviously there is a bigger political statement attached to the film and so on and so forth. But I think what I was really going for was this one universal thing that people need to understand, that if two people are in love with each other, it's their goddamn business. You know,
it is
not your business to put your nose. I mean, I don't know if the listeners are aware of it, but homosexuality in India is a crime. It is a punishable offense for 15 years life sentence or life imprisonment, and which I think is a massive thing for, you know, it's a massive punishment to be given to two people who love each other. And I think it's a very inhuman thing, and which is what I think my film is trying to speak of. And it's trying to reach out to the audiences who still have a lot of dogma about homosexuality, who are not comfortable seeing two people of the same sex in love with each other. So the film is trying to break that barrier in a very subtle way, I'd like to say that, because I didn't want to make a very patronizing film where people are giving speeches about how normal they are and, you know, why should people go out of their the comfort zone to accept, you know, their love and you know, I think because I don't think anyone needs to accept in that sense. I think acceptance is such an internal thing that will only happen when there is a genuine change of heart and a genuine change of mind, you know.
Wow.
And I think only love can conquer that, you know, that the barrier can only be overcome by love. And that is the purest emotion known to all of us. And I think my biggest challenge was to be honest to that emotion and bring in my filmmaking techniques along with my entire the cast and my crew without having any budgets because I had to sell my car, like I mentioned to you. I had to sell my car. I had to put my apartment on rent, and I moved in with my parents because I needed money to make this film. And there was nobody who wanted to support the film back here. I didn't have any producers because they said, you're making a gay film, and to top it all, you're making a silent gay film. Nobody wants to watch a silent gay film. Which is really, kind of the corner of me, and I said, Jesus, what is wrong with you people, you know? And I mean, someone has to do it, and I had to take the risk, and I'm very glad that I sold my car and I put my house on rent and I made this film happen because so many lives have been transformed by this 20-minute film, which is so fascinating. And I did not, honest to God, I did not expect this at all. I mean, just I think last week I shared this on my Facebook wall as well, that there was this girl who's been following my journey, and she messaged me on Instagram saying that last night her brother came out to her parents, and he only got the courage to come out to his parents because he's been watching the trailer every night before he goes to bed for the last 6 months. And she said, right now he's sleeping at peace after a very long time. And it is all thanks to you that you had the courage to make this film, that you gave life to my brother,
yes,
who was at the verge of killing himself. So these experiences are so out of body experiences, you know. These are experiences that one really does not expect, you know. I mean, such translation of a cinema percolating the human life is what I think every filmmaker around the world aspires to have, you know. And
right.
So I think I'm just very, very overwhelmed and very emotional to talk about this because it's a beautiful feeling and it's indescribable in so many ways.
Man, well, you said a lot, and I don't mean that you said many words. I mean, you just touched on so many important themes, man. I mean, I actually had forgotten about the fact that homosexuality is illegal in India until you just mentioned it again. I knew it. I have known it. But just in, you know, my day-to-day, it's something I don't even have to think about. You know, I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm gay. I don't have to worry about, you know, the act.
The legality.
The legality. I don't have to worry about the legality of loving somebody or having sex with somebody. However,
absolutely,
there are issues in the United States right now, for example, where the Supreme Court, the Attorney General just filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court saying that it is not against the Constitution to discriminate, or the Civil Rights Act of 1965 to discriminate against people who based on sexual orientation at work, meaning there's still some gray areas in much of the United States regarding sexual orientation and legal rights. But still, you know, in India, not only is the act of, you know, homosexual acts, whatever, a type of, you know, interaction between consenting adults considered illegal.
Right.
But I also assume that there is a cost by being openly gay as well.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you cannot be openly gay because the cops are always on the lookout. And I think more than the law, I think the law somewhere transcends into a larger monster,
which
then becomes a part of the history of the society and the psychology of the way the society a function. So when the country that I am a citizen of makes me a criminal for who I am,
yes,
the society just reflects the same back onto me, you know. No, so I think that I am a criminal by default in the eyes of the law and the eyes of the society, you know, and therefore this battle is not just for the law, it's also for the acceptance, you know, of my family, my friends, my colleagues, the people I work with, and so on and so forth. You know, it's like every day you need to come out of the closet, you know,
And this is happening, and you're talking as somebody who is out about your sexuality.
Absolutely.
This isn't even
considering
all the issues that are faced by people who could pass as straight, who get married to other people.
Right.
That they don't, you know, they may have, you know, they may care about them, but they certainly aren't sexually attracted to them. They go, you know, on the DL, as we say here, or, you know, back into the closet. They have lives of pain and bitterness. And then they end up, you know, many of whom end up, as we say, the lady doth protest too much, being the biggest homophobes and taking it out on other people because they aren't square with themselves. So there's a lot of self-acceptance that isn't happening. Wow, man. Like, I'm cringing at the thought of people that I've, you know, friends that I've made and just being at this film festival where people standing in their truths and owning who they are, being at risk for something they can't change, at risk of jail time for something they can't change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not just a jail time, a jail time, Ernest, to be very honest, because there is also a lot of hatred. There's a lot of hate crime that is committed by
violence and
the parents
killings.
Of homosexual people, you know. I mean, just last month, I think I shared this with you as well, that I was reading in the newspapers that two of the girls were murdered by their own fathers and thrown inside the sewer.
Wow.
Because they were in love with each other. And about 6 months back, there was a son who was pushed off the balcony from his fourth floor and left to die because he came out to his dad. So, you know, I mean, it's not just the law. It's so much more than the law. And I think everyone, when you take the courage to come out and, you know, you're trying to be really brave, it does have a lot of the it does have a lot of consequences. I mean,
yes.
I get a lot of hate mails. I get a lot of death threats as well for making this film. You know, I'm at risk for making this film because I'm out about it. I'm open about it. I've been talking about my film in the media and in the international media, the national media. And now people are aware of me. They are aware of my film. And just last week, I was at the airport. I was going to Delhi with my film. And I was reading a newspaper which had a massive interview of me with a picture of me. And I was reading and I was just about to take a picture of that and send it to my mom. And a random man walks up to me out of nowhere. And he splashed water on my face. And he said, "The people like you should be thrown into the jail for making a film like this." And he just walked away.
Faraz, you have the patience of Job and Obama and half the other people in the Bible who had patience, because it would have been a misunderstanding that day. Yeah, it would have been. I know that's why the universe doesn't have these things happen to me, because that would have been it. It would have just been a misunderstanding. I would have been tased and thrown under the jail. Yeah, I would have been jailed, but for battery. Wow,
so,
I'm sorry that happened to you, man.
I mean, we're laughing on it right now, but you know, when it happened at that point in time, I was numb, Ernest, to be very honest with you. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to take the next car back home. I wanted to go. I wanted to lock myself up in the bedroom because I felt threatened.
Yes, I felt
really threatened. But then I had a plane to catch. I had to go to Delhi and show my film to an audience that is waiting to watch this film.
You had a life to live.
And I had to do it. Yeah. So, I mean, I went ahead and I did what I had to do. And at risk, you know, because when I landed in Delhi, there were the cops waiting there who got in touch with me. And they said, did you lodge a complaint at the Bombay airport? And I said, yes, I did. And they said, listen, you need to be careful. We can't offer you protection, but you need to be careful because it's a bad world. And I said, what do you mean? It's a bad world. You know, I mean, change the bloody law, take it off.
Right.
But no. So, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. People feel emboldened by the law because,
right.
to say, you know, here in the U.S., there are hate crimes and attacks as well. So, you know, it's a worldwide issue. You know, obviously, I mean, we hear about countries like Russia and sometimes Jamaica and some other places where it's at the forefront, in terms of homophobia. Right. But I mean, there are homophobic people and haters. And when I say haters, to use a phrase from Outkast, love haters, because they don't have love in their own lives. So they hate other people, and they take that out on others. And the difference, though, of course, is that here in the States, there are some laws right now that you can kind of offer some form of protection. But you're saying that there are none.
No, we don't have any. I mean, nothing at all.
Man, I'm grateful that you are still moving forward with your mission, with your life, and to, you know, and obviously there are other things that you do. It's not just about this particular film. This is just one of the, this is the latest, and, you know, one of the many different things that you've done in terms of helping people be seen, helping people feel empowered. And, you know, but this just happened to be the thing that has kind of given you, I guess, the most notoriety at the moment.
Yeah, I think so.
But just the strength, though, that's the thing. I mean, you are obviously having to field off challenges on many different sides, but yet you still have the strength to move forward. So I'm honored to have you here, you know, just to talk about it. So thank you.
You're too kind. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No, man. Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, as a person who works in media and as somebody who tells stories, you know, it's really easy for me to not mention my sexuality. It's really easy for me to kind of, you know, let that be a non-issue. And because of that, I have an easier life. But when it's, you know, when you stand in your truth and that's a truth that's not popular for whatever reason, you know, then any of those people who do that, they're heroes to me. So what are some, so you told us about this letter that you received from a fan who talked about, you know, how important you were in terms of her brother's coming out. Are there any other big kinds of revelations that people have made to you, or I guess places where you've seen the work that you do through this film be beneficial to people?
When I was traveling with, when I was in Boston for the world, the premiere of the film at the Boston LGBT Film Festival, I remember when I walked into the audience, the film was playing at the Museum of Fine Arts.
Okay.
And when I walked into the auditorium, it was filled with, it was a house full show, about 850 people inside the auditorium.
Okay.
And, you know, all Americans. And I was just very scared that, will they understand my film, you know? Because, I mean, there is, you know, there's an apprehension because your film is playing for the first time and all of that. And my film was the closing film of the night, and we had about 30 films before my film. 30 shorts, and they were all produced and made in America. And I was watching them, and I was watching the reaction that, you know, the people were giving to those films. And those films, you know, and don't get me wrong when I say this, but a lot of films that were playing that night were very privileged films, you know, for a person, for a filmmaker who comes from India, you know, I heard one of the filmmakers talk about their film, and he said, you know, I had a very small budget to make my film. I only had $25,000.
And you were like, man, I would love to have had $25,000.
I wanted to, like, yell out of him and say, shut up. That's not a small budget. You know, I mean, I made my entire film in $3,000. You know, $3,000 because I didn't have the money. I didn't have it. I had to make it happen. So I had to find a way. So when I was listening to all of this and everything, and then it was my opportunity to go on stage and talk about the film and everything, and I got a standing ovation from the entire house. And when I was looking at the audience, Ernest, there were these men weeping.
Yes.
They were weeping.
I understand the feeling.
And, you know, for me to be present in front of them and to watch that was the most out-of-body experience that I've had in my life. Because I could watch the translation, I could watch the conversion that had already happened without a single word. And I just stood there and I, you know, the applause went on for a while. And then after the end of everything, I was waiting outside and there was one man who walked up to me and he held my hand and he said, "Don't go back." And I looked at him because I was genuinely surprised. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Don't go back to that country because something might happen to you. And I don't want anything to happen to you."
Mm.
And that kind of affection, that kind of love was really wonderful. Also, the same thing happened when I went to Harrisburg at the LGBT center in Harrisburg to share my film. We were expecting about 30, 40 people to turn up. It was a Sunday. But we had about 150 people who showed up that evening. And there were these old women in their early 70s, late 60s, were sitting in the front row. And they, I mean, when the film got over, they walked up to me and they hugged me. And they just didn't want to, they just went on weeping. And, you know, when that happens, you don't know how to respond back to that, you know.
Right, right.
Such a wordless exchange of emotions that is happening between two people. It's almost like they just want, they can't say anything after the film. And so much that has happened since then, you know. I mean, these things, I mean, they have really transformed me, I think, as a person and even as a filmmaker for that matter, you know, because
yes.
When you actually see it in person, I mean, yes, I get a lot of messages on my social media from a lot of the people in Pakistan, a lot of people in the Gulf countries, you know, who perhaps live a way more difficult life than, you know, what I do in
mm-hmm,
India.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
For them, the laws are, I mean,
you could die.
There, if you are caught, yeah, you're killed. You die, right? So, I mean, I don't even know what that life would be like. And for them to, you know, find a VPN or whatever it is called to send me a message so that they don't get discovered that they have sent a message to me saying what they have to say. And these are messages of heartbreak. And these are messages of love. And these are messages that are aching for freedom, you know. They're filled with pain and, you know, anxiety and a depression saying that, what can I do? Or can you help me? What can I do? Can you help me? That's, you know, and I don't know how can I help them, you know, because after a point, all I have to give them are words, you know. I mean, they want me to travel with the film to the country and share it with them and all of that, but how can I do that? You know, I mean, I might get killed in the process of doing that. So we all realize that how helpless we all are given in our own situations, you know.
Right.
And that itself is like, it bonds us more strongly, you know. The helplessness.
Right.
It's the helplessness is what gives us a courage to be together and to stand up, you know, for what is right.
But so you
I
know what, man?
Is,
I think, though, I'm sorry for interrupting, I feel like
not
you, having done what you did, which was to bring this story to life and to the big
right.
screen, is
right.
what you could do to help. It's what your
Absolutely.
Mission is, which is to
yep.
provide visibility. You know, it's kind
Absolutely.
Of, it's the equivalent of the film Moonlight. You know, in many ways, you're showing that men of color are capable of loving each other. You know, and that's not something
yeah,
that I feel like,
important.
Yeah, we don't get
yeah.
enough of that. And so, therefore, many of us don't even feel that way.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, love in a way has been discarded, you know.
Yes.
Out of the lives of people of a color for that matter, and the same sex for that matter, you know. I
Certainly.
Mean, we are
the world.
Projected in, yeah, we are projected in such a horrible light. We've been made a stereotypes. We've been put into a box. We are used for a comic
relief.
You know,
yep.
even in a lot of American sitcoms for that matter, you know. I mean, homosexual people are just used purely for comic relief, you know, even now, which is so heartbreaking because I know a lot of homosexual people who would have been against it, but they watch it because they're like, oh my God, that's so much fun. You know, which I absolutely disagree to because it's politically incorrect, you know.
Right, right.
At the end of it all, you're selling discrimination.
Yes. You know. It's coonery.
Yeah, absolutely. You're giving the people a reason to hate people. You're giving the people a reason to laugh at people, to mock people, to make fun of people, you know. So I think it's very important that a film like Moonlight wins the Academy, you know.
Yes.
Because it is such a resonating statement for the rest of the world, you know, to look at, you know, because back home in India, in Bollywood, I don't have any actors who would be ready to act in a homosexual film, you know. They don't want to do it because they're like, man, I'll lose all my fan base and all that bullshit. So, you know, they don't have the courage, but what happened? I mean, if they had the courage, maybe they would have, I would have made a film with that, with them, which would have hopefully landed up at the Academy. You know, but they don't want to do it because they're too scared. You know, they're too scared of these things. So, which is very sad because then when I watch a film like Moonlight being made and getting the support and the love, it's very heartening, you know. It just makes you believe in the power of cinema, you know, all the more. That it does translate. It does, you know. Cause, and what a wonderful way to do it.
Well, man, you know, and that's, that is heartening, especially considering the fact that Moonlight itself had to go through unimaginable hurdles just to even be made, you know, and the cuts and edits were done to it and all kinds of things. And, you know, it's even still, it made it to see the light of day just as Sisak has done. And I'm just kind of upset that it wasn't a full feature film, that it's only 20 minutes.
Right.
But we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, I would love to continue talking about just how much India itself and the culture and the feel and the colors of the place have played, the role that those things have played in the movie that you put together. So we will be right back. Audience, please stay tuned.
Chef Elliott Entertaining Solutions.
Fans and foodies alike, the moment we've all been waiting for is here. Celebrity Chef Elliott's Entertaining Solutions radio show is in full swing. Tune into the most alluring and entertaining food talk show with Food Network star Chef Elliott Farmer. Join the conversation to get exclusive food event details and gain an all-access pass to interviews with foodies and renowned chefs from around the world. Remember to stock your pantry, pack your fridge, and get your notepads ready for the tips and meal magic happening in the kitchen on Chef Elliott's Entertaining Solutions. Listen live every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the NEN.
In the wake of tragedy, a phoenix rises to restore hope needed by many to mobilize and effect the change they seek. In preparation for change in our communities, the Real Talk with Anita Spencer radio show reflects the expertise of author, entrepreneur, culture curator, and community educator Anita Spencer. Her life's experiences and purpose both lead her to awaken, empower, uplift, and strengthen families around the globe. Tune into her show weekly to have your spirit elevated, your mind broadened, and receive the inspiration to build yourself and others up. Listen to Engage in Real Talk to get real solutions to real issues that affect our communities. Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. only on the NEN.
We won't land, y'all. Come on.
Walk right up to the sun.
In hand, every man,
we'll walk right up to the
every
sun.
Woman,
we won't land.
Hi, Indie Loves, and welcome to an exploration into the discoveries of independent talent on the Industry Radio Show. In this space, your Out of This World super hosts, Zakiya Yuwanda and Nicole Lester, will continue to shed light on extraordinary artists while confronting issues that impact our community, locally and abroad. You are especially invited to tune in to the weekly conversation, meet our phenomenal guests, and learn about the happenings that have landed on our radar. The Refuel Industry Radio Show is live every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to taking off with you here on the
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I'm Ernest White II here talking with Faraz Arif Ansari, who is just a brilliant filmmaker from India that I had the pleasure of meeting and befriending a few months ago in India. Thank you again, Faraz, for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Ernest. It's an absolute pleasure.
Oh, man. So before the break, we were about to talk about, or I asked about, like, how India itself kind of comes out in the aesthetics of the film. And I know that may sound like a weird question, but for me, I'm not sure if I could see this film being made or having the same impact if it took place on, let's say, the New York subway.
Sure. Yeah. I think, I absolutely understand what you're saying. And I think I must share this with you that, you know, I mean, I studied in the U.S. I went to a Penn State. And,
oh, nice.
When I was there, when I was doing my graduation there, the stories that I was writing and the ideas that I was coming up with were coming from a very safe, a very privileged mindset, you know, mm-hmm. where you are allowed to live the life that you want to and you have the freedom and, you know, you have the free will to do what you want and, you know, love who you want or have sex with who you want. So my ideas were very different and my perceptions, my realities were very different. It is when I got back to India after completing my graduation and I started living here and I started working here was when I started to see things change around me. The perceptions of the people regarding me, my own family's perceptions about who I am, you know, because mm-hmm. I had left home to study in the U.S. when I was 16, and I had come back home when I was 22.
Oh, wow.
So,
lots
you know,
of formative years there.
I was an adult now. So I was a different person because I was dating someone back in the U.S., and, you know, my life had changed absolutely, and I had transformed. And to then come back into a society which does not let you do what you want to and, you know, love who you want to and so on and so forth. I went into a shell. I sort of, you know, coiled up and I went into a depression. Mm. And I think it was that depression which led me to start writing back again, you know.
Okay.
Films
yes.
that were, you know, which were looking out for hope, which were very helpless at the onset of it, but they were looking out for a larger universe to voice the opinion. You know, it's almost like you're isolated on this one island and there is no one and you're writing a massive HELP on the sand hoping that one day someone will find you.
You know?
You have nothing to launch a flag on or you don't have any explosives to set on fire to get noticed. All you can do is keep writing help every day in that sand.
Right.
And I think that's how I felt when I was back. And
wow.
I think that years led me to make Sisak, which is India's first silent gay love story. And to my surprise, obviously, no, I was very surprised when I lost out on a lot of friends. I lost out when they just backed out and they said, man, we don't want to be friends with you if you're going to make a gay film. And I was like, what?
Were these
so
gay, gay friends?
No, these were like my so-called straight friends from school who just backed out on me saying, have you lost the plot? You're making a gay film? Why don't you just make a mainstream film and, you know, make the money? And why do you want to go through this whole turmoil of being an outcast? And which was really surprising because, I mean, they know me, they know who I am, and, you know,
right.
they have accepted me and they love me. But when it comes to taking a public a stance, you know, with regards to something, they just vanished. I just lost friends overnight, the night I decided to make this film, which was a massive setback for me, you know, because
certainly.
I didn't expect that. But I think, yeah, so, but however, I think all of these things sort of pushed me towards my ultimate, a dream of being able to pull this film across, you know, in spite of having no help at all.
Mm.
So I think all these experiences lead you to become the person that you hope to be someday. I don't think I have become the person I want to be, because there's so much more that I want to do, and Assistak is just the start of the journey. It's just the first step. It's just the first baby step.
Right, right, right.
And there's so much more to do. But I'm glad that this has happened, you know, and I'm glad that the world is noticing the film, because the LGBT community in India needs a lot of attention, and it needs a lot of a sunshine, you know, that
yes.
the film is being able to provide, you know, to a community which is otherwise totally ignored, you know, because people are not even aware of what we're going through, you know. So someone had to voice that out, and I'm just very happy that it had to be my film.
Well, so then you said earlier that people in the U.S. and I assume other places too, when they would see the film, mm-hmm. they would ask you, you know, why don't you just leave? Like, why go back? Why did
right.
you go back, and why do you persist in India still?
There's so much work to be done, Ernest, in this country.
Mm.
You know, this is my, this is the country where I was born, and I really believe in the universe's larger way of working. You know, there is,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there is a plan that I was born into this country, into this particular family, into this particular
yes, sir.
Situation. There has to be a bigger plan. It's not just the coincidence. You know, I mean, there
yes.
has to be a bigger, you know, I'm a total believer that, you know, there is a bigger, there's a bigger realm that is working for all of us, and it is moving all of us. So I think right now I am a channel, you know, I am a channel of the universe, and I'm
Indeed.
Doing the work of the universe.
Yes, you are.
Which is to bring awareness, and which is to make people stop and pause for a second and remind them, hey, don't forget to love today.
Wow.
You know, because that's very important.
Don't forget
that's
to love today.
Thing.
You guys hear that at
that
home?
Is, I mean,
don't forget to love today. Mm. Preach, Faraz.
And I think there's a lot of work that has to be done back in the country, you know. I mean, I don't know when the law will get scrapped off, and even if it does get scrapped off, then the fight for acceptance, you know, with the society, which is going to take a while.
Mm.
So, I mean, all of these realities have to be worked on, and, you know, I'm just one of the soldiers right now. I
yes.
have to get many more people on board, you know. I want this to become a journey. I want this to spread far and wide, you know, into the rural parts of India where people don't have the privilege of even watching a film, for that matter, you know.
Mm.
They don't even have the livelihood to be able to have a 3 meals a day, you know.
Right.
So these realities that are playing in my country, I mean, I could have stayed back in the U.S., got a great job which paid me a lot of money, you know, and I would have made my first film by now, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to come back and to do this work is, I think, the journey of my soul.
Yes.
And I'm just
yes.
Following on to the path which I'm being led on, you know, that you do what you have to do.
You know, do what you have
to do.
And you
put your heart and soul.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I'm living that right now, so I understand about mission and about just being here.
Absolutely.
Given these gifts.
Yeah, you do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
Absolutely.
We're given the things that we need in order to do what we're here to do. And
Absolutely.
So, yeah, man. And one of the other things I just thought about, when you mentioned earlier that the film being silent transcends
right.
language. I mean, India has, what, 500 different dialects or something like that?
About 1,537.
Whoa. Okay, I was way off
yeah.
by about 1,000. So, I mean, just that alone, you know, it's the most It's the second most populated country on the planet, correct?
Right.
Which means that, theoretically, you guys probably have the second highest number of people who are not straight on the planet. Yeah. And they are in villages and cities and every place in between. So yeah. You've created something that, just by not having words, transcends yeah. all of the languages, you know, and yeah. just in India, in addition right. to the right. world, you know, not even considering the rest of the world. So, yeah, man, you're definitely on, you're on mission, my brother. So what are some of your other projects? What are the other, because I feel like the greater thing here is love, period. Not, it doesn't yeah, matter absolutely. The form that it comes in. Yeah. So what are some of the other projects that you're working on now that kind of continue with that?
Right. So I, the next film that I'm hoping to make, the next short film that I'm hoping to make, it's called Gajar Ka Halwa, which means the carrot, the pudding in English.
The carrot?
And, it's about a carrot pudding.
A carrot pudding, okay.
It's like, yeah, that's what it means. And okay. it's about the relationship of a mother and a son, predominantly. And it's about, and the film starts when the son returns home after 10 years, and he returns home with his husband to India. And what happens then?
Boy, you putting your foot in it, my man.
because, you know, the battle of acceptance is something that really needs to be attended to because, you know, we always, I mean, we ourselves, I mean, in our daily life, we have such limited levels of acceptance, you know.
Yes.
We think we accept things, but we don't really, you know, do we?
Agreed.
We don't. It's just a very, you know, I mean, we accept things on such a superficial level, you know. I mean,
right.
The greater acceptance takes a longer time, you know. And my film is from the perspective of the mother and the son, mm-hmm. and what she goes through to accept, you know. I mean, first she had to accept her gay son. And
yes.
she had made her peace with that, but now she has to accept the husband of the gay son.
Right.
And how would she deal with that?
Yes, yes.
And he has to and for him also, there is the battle of, you know, accepting the mother who does not accept him for who he is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for the mother to accept the husband, you know, the man he loves so much, which he really aches for, you know, he wants her to love him back. Because, you know, that's how things should be, you know, because they're a family. You
yes,
know, it's a
yes.
given.
They
you
are
to love
a family.
A family.
Yeah.
Right. So my film deals with that, and it deals with the internal subtleties that, you know, go on between relationships where we don't talk about the most important things, but we just talk about the most unimportant things that there's not too much of sugar in the pudding and things like that, you know.
Okay, so which takes us back to the carrot pudding.
Exactly. So, and also to do with the fact that how food is a language in itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Food binds people together. Food
yes.
brings people together. You know, food is almost a language in itself, and to, you know, it's so nostalgic. It's so full of memories, you know. It's so evocative, you know, in so many ways. So I think to just bring that back, you know, that a family sits together to enjoy a bowl of carrot pudding together, you know, and they bond on that.
Yes.
On that, because food is a major thing. I mean, I live in a country where people die of hunger every second day, you
man.
Know. So food is a massive metaphor in that sense in the film.
That is a very
so
sobering
think,
fact, just there, man. Like, wow. Things that we don't even
yeah,
think
yeah.
about in other
exactly.
parts of the world.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I mean, so I think I'm doing my little job of, you know, making people aware around the world that, you know, I mean, it's more than what you think, you know, always.
Yes,
and one,
yes.
needs to be a little bit more keen and a little bit more alert and a little bit more sensitive to, you know, the world around us. And I think when that happens, we'll all just become better beings by default, you know. We just become a little bit more sensitive to our surroundings.
Oh, man. And I mean, like you mentioned, you know, it's the awareness the work of acceptance is it's daily, right? Because we do pat ourselves on the back and think that, you know, and be self-congratulatory about the fact that, oh, I'm not, you know, discriminatory. Right. I'm not bigoted. I'm not misogynistic or homophobic or transphobic or, I don't know, ageist or all these other things. But then when it comes down to it, we actually are kind of, because we grow up in the same society as everybody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can't take that away from who you are. You have to work towards it.
You have to work towards it. Yes.
You have to work towards it.
And that's the thing. Often I was going to say other people of color often forget that when they're being, when they're coming down on one particular group for asserting their right to exist, you know, it's like, guys, we've had to deal with this same thing from the majority when it comes to visibility, when it comes to stereotypes, when it comes to all of these different things. So are we really just kind of internalizing their hatreds and acting out on others, or are we doing that daily work of trying to become a little bit more aware and a little bit better each day?
Yeah, I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves before we go to bed and or before we get out of bed every morning, you know. I mean, it just it takes about a minute, you know, every day, and it's something that I work on every day because, you know, at the end of it all, we are all humans, you know. We make mistakes, we falter. But I think it takes a great deal of more courage to, you know, correct yourself when needed, you know, and to allow yourself the space to learn.
Yes,
you know? Because learning is a never-ending process. It goes on every day, every minute, every second, you know. And I think we just have to learn to not shy away from learning, you know, because learning is forever, you know. We learn so much even while we're taking our last breath, for that matter, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think.
So what then, speaking of breath, I think I know already, but what does the word SISAC, which is the title of your short film, what does it mean?
So SISAC is basically an Urdu word, and I was actually struggling for a long time with the title of this film. I mean, I generally come up with the title first before I write the film.
Okay.
But with this one, I think it was just one of those things that I was unable to. How do you name a wordless film? How do you name a silent film? You know, so I really struggled with it. And one day I read it to my mother, and she said, Sisak. And I looked at her and I said, what does it mean? And she said, it means this gnawing cry which is stuck inside your chest and is unable to come out. It kills you second by second. And I was like, Jesus, that's some meaning which I'll never be able to translate in an English title.
Your mother said that.
So, So, and then I think I knew it then that, you know, that had to be the title of the film. I mean, there was no other way out of it. And even now when it travels to international film festivals, I don't have an English title for the film. I still go with Sisak, because how else will you translate such a beautiful, such a poetic word? I would not be doing justice to it. So I think I had to stay away from that.
Wow. I'm choked up just hearing about it, man. How can my listeners and other folks find out about the film and possibly even see it?
So we have a page on Facebook. It is @SISAK.thefilm, SISAK.thefilm on Facebook. And I think that's where we share all the details of our screenings and our promos and everything. You know, I mean, right now, in fact, the film is playing across the U.S. through the months of August, September, and October.
Nice.
And I hopefully will be traveling as well. It's playing at the Sidewalk Film Festival. It's playing at Ellensburg Film Festival. It's playing at Fayetteville Film Festival. And many more. I keep forgetting. I keep losing count of it because every day there's a new selection that happens. And, I mean, most of the film festivals that the film has got selected has been in the United States, which is wonderful. And I hope to be there to attend at least one of those festivals. And the good part is that the film has also been, which I'm sure you're aware of, but we've also been selected to close the Pride Week in one of the cities in Sweden. It's the first time that an Asian film has got this opportunity. we closed Pride Week there, and we're opening one of Sweden's most prestigious film festivals called the Live of Heart. And I mean, I'm just overwhelmed and honored to be a part of it. And I've also been selected to be a part of the international jury, which is so exciting.
Nice, man. Thing.
Yeah, I'm just very excited.
Faraz, you deserve every single bit of success that you get. And again,
you're
it was a
kind.
Blessing and an honor to have you on here, man. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much. Absolute pleasure, Ernest. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Audience, please stay tuned. We've got a little bit left here on the Fly Brother Radio Show right after this. Thank you.
Brand ambassadors and business owners, the NEN has two questions for you. Are you ready to captivate thousands of new prospective clients? And are you ready to take your brand to the next level? If the answer is yes to both, then the Industry Entertainment Network is here to help you get there. Advertise with the NEN to give your brand the exposure that it needs on a national and international level to a diverse audience of substance and value. The Industry Entertainment Network is a global entertainment platform that highlights the positive aspects of music, film, culinary, lifestyle, and the beauty industries, with an emphasis on social and cultural issues. Our network features several evolutionary and elevating talk shows that are sure to appeal to your target audience at a fraction of the paid advertisement cost. Increase your business's and brand's value by taking advantage of our customer reach today. Contact us via email at www.welcometotheindustry@gmail.com or by calling 904-469-7511.
Have you ever wanted to just get away? To lie on a beach in Rio de Janeiro? To party at the freshest night spots in Paris? To explore the markets of Istanbul or the breathtaking landscapes of Cape Town? Well, every week you can find out how with the Fly Brother Radio Show. Hi, I'm Ernest White II, international explorer, storyteller, and host of the Fly Brother Radio Show, your audio getaway to exotic destinations, useful travel tips, engaging interviews, culture, history, music, and global exploration. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50 around the world, learning languages and customs, experiencing cultures and connections, and I'd like to share a bit of all of that with you. So tune in every week, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, when we'll talk all about how to turn your life into a fly life. The Fly Brother Radio Show. Get lifted, only on the Industry Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. As Faraz mentioned before the break, you can find out more about Sisak at facebook.com/sisak.thefilm. That's SISAK.thefilm at Facebook. If you missed any portion of the Fly Brother Radio Show or would like to experience this session again, please log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/welcometotheindustry, that's industry without the I, to listen to the on-demand version of the show. You can email me directly at ernest@flybrother.net, and please like the Fly Brother Facebook page at facebook.com/flybrotherfly. Please share any questions, content, stories, anything that helps me to help others thrive. Listeners, please join us here next and every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. That's GMT-4 for our international listeners. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Fly Brother here on the Industry Entertainment Network. Have a phenomenal weekend and an amazing week. Ciao, ciao.